Welcome to show number 18 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by NorCalSportsShop.com. What is up, my gangstas of love? We are back for another week, and it is the Sports Card Show. We got a ton to talk about today. We're going to talk basically about every sport, maybe not necessarily about football, because that's the one that we're just getting into playoffs. I lost fantasy football. I was in fantasy football playoffs yesterday, and I lost by like 2 points, and I would have went to the finals if I would have won that game. I made the finals last year, and I lost. And I was looking forward to getting back into the championship because it would have been against my brother, who talks more trash than anybody in fantasy football. He's like the Sam Cassell of fantasy football. But couldn't do it. Lost by two. So I'm going to be playing this week for probably like $20 or something. So it's not going to be very fun. I could have been playing for about $400. So a little bummed out about that. But fantasy basketball is, you know, right around the corner. I've been doing it for a couple months, so a couple different leagues. So I'll be focusing more on that now that football's kind of winding down. And as you know, I'm a Bengals fan, and my season has been over since about week one. So I haven't been following a lot of football too closely. So we're going to talk a little bit about baseball, which I kind of delved in today. Kind of figured out what's going on currently. We're going to talk a little bit about the NBA, particularly rookies. And we're also going to be talking we're going to be talking about these Brett Favre jerseys. That's right. We got these Brett Favre. Supposedly there were some jerseys that Brett Favre had signed off that were legitimate and weren't. So we'll bring that story to you in a little bit. But let's first break it off with a little bit of news. What's coming out in terms of sports cards this week? Basically, if you're listening to this, hopefully you're like a great listener and you're listening to this right away. But if you're not, this is for about the third week of December, 12/15, 12/16, somewhere in that range. First thing, product is actually a great product. I really love this product for basketball owners. Topps Chrome Basketball. Big time product every year. Usually you can get it fairly cheap. I know the pre-sale on this was in the $50 range retail price, and it sometimes dips below that. If you go and search other years of this, it's usually in the $20 to $30 range. And it's usually the same thing. You got 24 packs, 4 cards per pack, 1 autograph rookie per box. And the boxes this year are selling in the $50 to $60 to $70 range. And we'll talk about the NBA rookies a little bit later, and it's mainly because of them, because you're getting 1 auto rookie per box. And there's just a lot of outstanding rookies out there. Some of the top guys you know about. We'll mention some guys that might be flying under your radar. We'll talk about them. But that's Topps Chrome Basketball. Another interesting baseball product that's coming out this year, it's called UD Documentary. There's 1 autograph per 24-pack box. Look to pay in the $50 to $60 range, but my guess it'll be a lot less than that. Why? Because this is a 4,980 card set. Yes, close to 5,000 cards. There's 166 cards per MLB team. So if you're a set builder, this set's going to drive you crazy because that's quite a few cards, 4,000 cards. You'd have to buy several, at least a case, I would imagine, to have anywhere, any chance of completing that. I don't know about this product on the box end. I definitely wouldn't pay $50 to $60 for it, considering it's only 1 auto, and it's such a huge set. And I'm sure the autograph set is big, too, because with a 4,980 card set and only 24 packs per box, there's going to be a ton of this stuff out there. So my guess is the price is going to drop on this. I would wait on UD Documentary Baseball. $50 to $60 is probably way too much for that. I would wait if it's something that you want to buy, or if it's something that you want to maybe hold out for to see what happens to the price. I would guess that you could have it for less than $50 within a couple of months, maybe by the start of the baseball season. For the football fans in you, Press Pass Bowl Legends. I had to make sure I said that correctly. Press Pass Bowl Legends. Basically, I think highlighting college football bowl games and stuff, trying to time it with all the BCS games that are going to be on the air here pretty soon. Those are going to be exciting to watch. I can't wait to watch some of that. Even though I don't watch a lot of college football, I really don't. I know some people that are crazy about college football, but me, I just kind of watch the big games. But I always like to watch the big games because guys are playing hard, a lot of good players, and you know, the Bengals will probably have a top five draft pick. Probably, they're definitely going to have a top five draft pick. So maybe I'll be seeing one of our future players in a BCS game. Maybe, maybe not that, or he'll be in jail. One of those two. But back to Press Pass Bowl Legends. Every pack has an autograph in it, so it's kind of a super premium, big baller, high-end special product. You got five packs per box. You're looking at $145 per box. So what does that make the packs? I don't know, about $25 each. So keep an eye out for it. I'm sure they don't make a lot of this stuff, so the price at $145, it might fluctuate a little bit, but then eventually it's going to dry up, and you're not going to be able to buy any of it, especially if it's pretty good, especially if there's a lot of legends and stuff like that in there. You want to keep an eye out on that. And this is just a teaser in the future. I just caught the sale sheet for this Triple Threads Football. I think it's the first time Triple Threads going to be in football. The baseball product is somewhat successful. Some people like it. Some people hate it. It's basically $150 for two packs, or obviously $75 a pack. But I don't think Triple Threads is worth buying by the one pack, because I think one of the two packs is obviously better than the other. So you're going to want to buy both packs, because if you go to a card store and they open up a box for you and you pop one pack and it's the bad pack, I mean, you're going to buy the next one. So you might as well just pop the $150 on it, get two packs. There's lots of cool stuff in there. Obviously, it's called Triple Thread, so it has all kind of multiple crazy stuff. There's like fold-out cards and all kinds of. There's some huge hits. There's some really big disappointments, but there will be some nice rookies and stuff on there. So you want to keep an eye out on that. So we're going to break it off here. Quick break. After we come back, we're going to talk about baseball. We're going to talk about mainly the hot stove, what's going on in baseball, who's signing with who, and maybe a little bit of what it has to do with card values, but I'm sure you can read all into that after this. And we are back. Thanks for hanging with us. We're going to talk about baseball hot stove, who's kind of moving around, what are the big teams that are involved. Just kind of surfing the websites today and kind of checking out the sports pages and a little bit of Sports Center here and there. Although I did cancel TV this week, and I emailed one of our listeners this. I was kind of surfing through the web, and I've always, maybe I shouldn't say this on air, but I'm going to. I don't really care. I've always bootlegged Laker games because a lot of people, for some reason, stream it. I'm sure it's for like Google ads and you know, make page impression, make 20 cents every 1,000 viewer, whatever they're trying to do by streaming the game, which is basically illegal. But I don't think it's too illegal. If somebody wants to stream the game and I want to watch it, that's what I'm going to do. So basically, I've been watching Laker games. I watch an investment channel called Bloomberg Network, and they basically run their program on the internet 24/7. So I was like, man, why am I paying $80? The only reason why I have TV is really to watch the football. because I always wanted to watch the Bengals. And now that that's kind of over with, I haven't even been watching the Bengals because it's been so bad. I don't really need TV. I just want to watch my investment channel. I want to stream Laker games when that's on. And I'll be able to stream, you know, the BCS games. You can do UFC. You can do just about anything. Don't take this as a recommendation of something you should do. But it's basically something I'm doing, and I'm just streaming this stuff straight off the TV. So I'm not watching a lot of SportsCenter. I know you can get it, but I've been watching a lot of investment during the day. But I've been checking out a couple sites. I think we've said it on the show before. MLB Trade Rumors is a really cool site. It's actually a site from an old Google employee, a guy that made a lot of money at Google. Basically kind of learned how their ad setups work and things like that, and basically set up a site where he just runs down the major league news, trade rumors and things like that. And obviously this time of the year, he's getting tons of hits. This guy's making a lot of money off a site that's pretty easy to make. So very interesting site. Just runs down the top stories from all the major newspapers, all the major sources and things like that. Really cool, up-to-date, very nice site. Guy that works on it's obviously very talented. But anyways, getting to some of this hot stove updates. Lots of really crazy stuff. First thing is first, I think this is like the biggest news. I'm sure you guys have heard this already. Barry Bonds quoted as saying he's not retiring. Now, that's got to be a joke. I mean, that's like Michael Jordan saying he's going to come back. I mean, who the hell is going to sign Barry Bonds at this point? Nobody gave him a chance last year. And nobody's going to give a guy that's got to be 40-something at this point, closer to 50 than 40. Nobody's going to give him a chance unless there's some major injuries and major disasters. Although, ticket sales would be great. I would sign him if I was a bad club and Barry would come. For sure, you would increase ticket sales tremendously. But that's obviously not the big news. Couple of big news. The Phillies have been really active trying to get a lot of guys. They signed a guy today, Raul Ibanez. I don't know, man. I'm rough with these names. Left fielder, 3 years, $30 million. Now, the interesting part of this trade, obviously, if you're a Phillies fan, you're pumped up. This guy's a good player. But the Mariners, if you're a Mariners fan, obviously you left them. They get the Phillies' first-round pick, which is going to be number 28 this coming year, and they get a supplemental between the first and second round, which is, my guess, would be a couple picks after this one. So really cool deal for both teams. Obviously, the Phillies pick up some more talent, and the Mariners don't get totally screwed because I think Ibanez was a like Class A free agent or something. I don't know. They have all these crazy things in baseball, but it's the reason why the Giants have actually gotten a lot of good draft picks recently because they always – they just don't sign their guys. They just let them go, and then they sign a guy like Barry Zito for $50 million. So that's what the Giants do. On to a better team, that spends its money even more frugally than the Giants, is the Yankees. They've been very active, obviously trying to get some pieces. One rumor that I saw is they're trying to actually trade Melky Cabrera for Mike Cameron, which I think would be an interesting trade. And I think, I don't know how many Yankee fans, I know Melky is a pretty popular player, at least his cards are. So I don't know how many Yankee fans would be too excited about that deal. And another big deal for the Yankees would be if they could score Manny Ramirez. And it's looking, I'm sure Manny's just playing it cool. He's trying to shop around, trying to get the most money he can. Who can blame him? I mean, this guy was selling barbecues on eBay. So this guy obviously needs some money. Manny Ramirez to the Yankees would be a huge signing. Yankee fans would just go nuts. Boston fans would hate him. Even more than they do now. So, and those games would be sick. It would be sick to go to the Yankees Boston Red Sox game in Fenway, the first game Manny came back as a Yankee. That would just be a sick game to go to and wear like a Yankees jersey. That'd be great, but I'm not going to do it. Another team that's been active is the Oakland Athletics, and this is kind of rare. The Oakland, you know, I don't know, they don't have a lot of money, but they tend to underpay. They tend to be one of the lowest paying teams in the league, but they're spending some money, or they're trying to at least. And Rafael Furcal, I think his name's Rafael. I don't know, man. He's like a little infielder guy. He's real small. But Oakland tried to increase their offer to him, the 4 years, $40 million, but it doesn't look like he's going to take it. It looks like he's going to the Braves. By the time you listen to it, I'm guessing he's going to be with the Braves. If he's not with the Braves, it's going to be with the Dodgers. Another pretty interesting sign was the Orioles. Orioles been really active. They're trying to get some pitching talent, and they're trying to do some things to turn that team around. A really tough division. I think the Tampa Bay, Yankees, Red Sox, Orioles, I think that's a whole division. That's a real tough division. But they signed Cesar Izturiz, shortstop. Pretty good sign for them. I don't think it's going to turn their team around. I definitely think they need some pitching help. So we'll see how that goes. One of the biggest free agents that haven't signed, aside from Manny and a couple other pitchers, Mark Teixeira is still looking for a deal. This guy has some really good cards. He was in the 2001 with Pujols and Ichiro and stuff like that. So Mark Teixeira is going to bounce around. This is going to be probably his third team in probably 2 years. So he's going to bounce around again. And that's about all the baseball news I have at the moment. I would keep a keen eye on baseball. Right now, I checked eBay last week. I was looking for some prospects, mainly Giants prospects. Tim Alderson and Madison Bumgarner, and maybe even some more Pablo Sandovals. He's really popular here with the fans. So I was thinking about scooping up some more of his, but nah, the prices really didn't go down much. And I can imagine that is how it is with most teams, especially with younger players. But the Giants are really a hotbed for younger players. And we'll kind of see how it goes. I think the Mariners as well are kind of a hotbed for young players. So you want to check their lineups out if you want to see maybe the next up-and-coming. Like, the Devil Rays broke through this year, and they were a team nobody even cared about. But they had a ton of young talent. They drafted well for many, many years because they were so bad. And they couldn't sign anybody because nobody wanted to play there. And all it takes is 1 year. Now Tampa's a pretty attractive place to play. So, keep an eye on your teams. Send me the updates. I don't always have time to check out, the sites. But if somebody on your team is doing really well, or, you've just got some news on your team that, me out here in California, we're kind of bombarded with news 24/7, so I don't get to catch everything. So, send me something. SportsCardShow@gmail.com. I know we have tons of listeners. I was on my site. I upgraded my Podbean site so we didn't run out of space and they didn't charge me more. So I upgraded my Podbean site, which for some reason allowed me access to more statistics, which I think is stupid. The stats really should just come with the service. But since I upgraded, I noticed, we have a lot of listeners that listen to the show. We have a tremendous amount. We have 30 to 40 people a day hitting on the shows. We have about 15 to 17 a day subscribing through iTunes and all these weird, I hadn't even heard of half these things that I'd seen on there. So I don't know if those stats are real, and even if they were only half real, we'd still have a lot of listeners. So send me an email. I want to hear from more of you, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Just send me something on your team. Send me something sports card related, something that you want to hear on the show. Let yourself be next. After this, we're going to talk about basketball rookies. I'm going to run down a couple that I think are doing pretty good. It's going to be obvious. These guys are really doing well, but I got a couple that are flying under the radar somewhat. If you follow basketball closely, they're not. But if you don't follow basketball closely, you want to hear about these guys and maybe try to scoop some of their cards. Although it's a tough market now because these guys are playing well, and so it's kind of a, I don't know what the word is, but it kind of is a snowball effect, I guess. As one rookie does well, and the second one, and the third one, prices just start going up and up and up and up. So we'll see what happens with basketball. You might want to just keep an eye on guys and then scoop in the summer, but we'll let you know about them now. So you're always 6 months. You're like the stock market, baby. You're like 6 months ahead of everything. You're 6 months ahead of the economy. For whatever that's worth, we're going to talk about it after this. Do 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 do. And we are back. We're going to talk about basketball rookies, as promised. And I may have said this on a previous show. I don't know. I can't guarantee it, but I'm pretty sure I said it here. Recorded, time-stamped, the whole works. O.J. Mayo was going to be a good basketball player because he filled it up, and he shot the ball a lot, and he was kind of selfish, and that's exactly what you need, especially if you're collecting cards. You want a guy that's selfish. You want a guy trying to put up numbers. You want a guy trying to get in the, get face time, get time on the camera. That's what makes cards go up tremendously. And O.J. Mayo kind of strikes me as that kind of guy, although I don't have any of his cards. I wouldn't mind pulling one, for sure, especially an autographed rookie or something like that. It'd be really nice. I think it'd be one of the best cards in the whole set. He is averaging 20 points this year, folks. That's a lot for a rookie. That's up in, like, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade category. So, you know, if this guy's doing it as a rookie, I know he's a little bit older. I think he's, like, 24, 25, might be maybe even older than that, because I think he had some academic problems and things like that, or he tried to come to the NBA. I don't know. He has an interesting history, which also may not be a bad thing for his cards. So O.J. Mayo, really like him on a bad team, or not really that bad, but a young team. So he gets to shoot a lot. I really like O.J. Mayo. Derrick Rose, obviously the number one pick, Chicago Bulls. He's averaging 18 points this year. I really like his game. He seems kind of fragile. Seems like the guy that might get injured a little bit, although he really hasn't this year. I know he's been nicked up a little bit. He was nicked up in preseason. I've seen him wincing on the sidelines when I've seen Bulls games and stuff. So this guy seems kind of fragile, but if he stays in the game, he'll be pretty good. I'm not really sure what kind of point guard he is. You know, we see guys like Derrick Rose. He's a really good passer, but he's not, I wouldn't say he's exceptional. He can score well, he can take it to the basket well, so we'll see if he's like that true point guard that's kind of like Chris Paul and like Steve Nash. I don't think he's going to be that kind of point guard. I think he's going to be more like the Tony Parker style point guard that's going to fill it up a little bit more, which might be what the Bulls need. You never know. Another pick that I like, Michael Beasley. We're just like running down like some of the best rookies. 14 points a game. This guy's a beast. He was caught smoking weed, though. I don't like that. I really don't like that. Especially, I mean, I'm not saying I don't like smoking weed, but I'm saying I don't like NBA players smoking weed, because it's just like, you know, if you're investing your money in these guys, say, I mean, Michael Beasley autographed rookie card's got to be in the, you know, the upper 50s to 100, maybe even more for a premium one. Now, I'm making an investment in this guy. You know, I'm putting my money, I'm putting my hard-earned dollar on the line for this guy, and he's getting caught smoking weed, like at a rookie camp before he's even played a game. That bugs me a lot about him, and I doubt he's quit, or at least he's quit maybe for the season. He pulls like a Josh Howard. It's another thing I don't like about Josh Howard, you know. I mean, if you smoke weed, great, but you don't need to talk about it. It's illegal. It's not, you know, you're not supposed to smoke. So these guys getting caught with weed, it's just something I really worry about. Thankfully, if you look at the good teams in the NBA, and I could be wrong, could be way wrong, but look at the Lakers. When's the last time someone has smoked weed on the Lakers? You know, in the last year or two when we've been really good, Kobe ain't smoking no weed. Andrew Bynum isn't smoking weed. Powell ain't smoking weed. The only person that's smoking weed on the Lakers is Phil. So, you know, that's the only thing that worries about me there. But not too much. You know, Phil can do whatever he wants. The good teams don't have players that do drugs, and the bad teams do. And there is a large percentage of the players in the NBA that do drugs. So Michael Beasley, I would say he's a really talented player. And if he can get clean and get off the weed, not too many guys that smoke weed win NBA championships or are MVPs of championship teams. I can almost guarantee that. The Tim Duncans, the Shaqs, the Kobes, the Kevin Garnetts, guys like that, Paul Pierce, these guys aren't messing around with that stuff. So I don't know about Beasley, but he is filling it up. Another guy flying probably completely on the radar, DJ Augustine, 13 points a game roughly, Charlotte Bobcats, I'm pretty sure that's who's in Charlotte. Charlotte, and there's another team I mix up. I mix up Charlotte Bobcats and the New Orleans Hornets. I mix those teams up a little bit for some reason. I don't know why. But this guy's on the Charlotte, filling it up pretty good. He's a high pick. You should check him out. I really like his game. I don't like Charlotte too much, but they have a great coach. Larry Brown is an excellent coach, and in a couple years, that team will be good. I can almost guarantee that. So DJ might be a good guy to scoop now, because a couple years from now, His cards might be pretty good. Now, I said we were going to have a couple rookies that were going to be flying under the radar. Rudy Fernandez. I'm sure you guys, if you watch the Olympics and stuff like that, you probably know about this guy. And if you follow the NBA closely, you know about him. But this guy's fantastic. He's not even starting. He's putting up good numbers. He's a guy that once he really develops into the NBA game and really understands, this guy's going to be like a Manu Ginobili. I hate to compare him to like a European player, but it's so tough to compare. You know, I heard this once before. I either read it in an article I heard on TV. You know, everybody always compares white players to white players. It's like when a great wire player comes out, he's like the next Larry Bird, whereas like Kobe and LeBron are always the next Michael Jordan. They're never, you know, Kobe wasn't the next Larry Bird. You know, so it's hard for me to find somebody to compare Rudy Fernandez to. Plays with a lot of energy. Plays on his toes. He plays with a lot of energy. Always looking for the ball. Always moving. Kind of like a, what's that guy's name? Rip Hamilton. A little bit. Plays a little bit more on his toes than Rip does. So I like his game. Like his style. Passes the ball well. Shoots it well. Has a lot of confidence. I like the guy. Rudy Fernandez. Portland Trail Blazers. Another guy, Brook Lopez, and out here in Northern California, he played over in Stanford with his twin brother. I remember when these guys had an autograph of the wrong brother, obviously. His brother is Robin Lopez, and he plays for the Suns. And not to hate on his game, but he's not as good as Brook. Brook's obviously the better twin, and he's you know, he's a lot tougher. Just seems like he's got his shit together. I like Brook Lopez. I think he plays for the Nets. Like his post game, shows a little bit of toughness. He needs to work on that, but I really like him going forward. His cards are probably undervalued just a little bit because the Nets kind of suck. He's not very a flashy player, but I really like Brook Lopez. I really think he could turn into maybe like a Chris Kaman or maybe even like an Andrew Bynum production. Maybe not quite like Andrew Bynum. I think Andrew Bynum's a special talent physically, but I definitely can see Brook Lopez being a 12 to 13 point center, giving you about 10 rebounds a game. I definitely can see him doing that. He definitely looks like he has the skills and the awareness that you need. And you can usually see it right away with the big men. I tell people all the time, big men are sometimes the easiest guys to scout in the NBA, and I don't understand how you can get that wrong. Because big men, you can just see if they have this awareness, their ability to move. I remember the very first time I saw Andrew Bynum, because I'm such a diehard Laker fan, baby. I just remember these things. I remember seeing Andrew Bynum picked, because this is when the Lakers sucked. I remember when they picked him, he came out of the crowd, and I was like, what the hell? And didn't know who this kid was, and I think I saw a piece on ESPN about him. I was like, oh my God. But the first time I saw him play, I was like, wow, this kid actually is coordinated. He moves well. Basically, the kind of 7-footers I like move like, you know, a 6'9" guy, 6'10". There's a lot of centers like Sean Bradley and, you know, some of these tall, Yao Ming to a certain extent, but not so much. But there's a lot of these tall centers that just get bounced out of the NBA because they just can't move. They can't bend at the hips well enough. They don't have the explosion that people like Shaq have and people like Olajuwon had. So, we'll see how Brook does. But that's just my tip. After this, we are going to be talking about Brett Favre, just a brief rundown of the story I saw, something you want to maybe check into. Interesting story. We'll talk about it after this.
So hard that your hat can't fit ya. Either I'm with ya or against ya. Format bent ya. Back through that maze I sent ya. Talking to the rap inventor. Nigga with the game type fifth that flame right. Spell my name right. B-I-double-G-I-E.
Welcome back. And as promised, we're just going to kind of wrap things up. We're going to break it out from here. But real quick, I just wanted to run through a story I ran across on the internet. Brett Favre apparently signed off on some jerseys that weren't authentic. He said that they were in an NFL game. There was a certificate of authenticity, Brett Favre's hologram. There was a letter from the desk of Brett Favre that was signed with him with a picture of signing the jerseys that were supposed to be game used. But as you can tell by looking at the photos in the article, it's so easy to tell a fake jersey from a real one. And just looking at those jerseys, they were excellent fakes. I mean, they were excellent, well made. But a real NFL game jersey is like nothing you've ever seen. It's a reason why they cost $300 from, like, you know, Reebok.com and NFL.com. And those aren't even the real deal. The ones straight off the players' backs are very impressive. I worked briefly for the 49ers just kind of doing stupid stuff for them a couple years ago when they had their training camp in my hometown. And I got up close and personal with many jerseys, and boy, they are nice. They're lucky I didn't walk out of there with one of them, because they are really nice, well-made, well-sewn. There's very few flaws on them, and they're very consistently made, because it's basically the flagship of the brand. You know, Reebok is trying to sell you jerseys by putting them on the players' backs, so they're not going to put a bad product on a player's back, although some of them look kind of ugly, but, you know, some are better than others. But Packers definitely have nice jerseys, and you could tell these jerseys were fake, and Brett Favre had signed up on them. I mean, you freaking had a letter with Brett Favre's picture on it, said it was from the desk of Brett Favre, had his hologram on there, had his signature on there, and they were fake jerseys. So I don't know what it tells you about Brett Favre, whether or not he was duped, but I don't see how those were his jerseys. Though, you know, a game jersey from Brett Favre doesn't come from anybody but Brett Favre. So Brett Favre is going to know if you wore that jersey in a game. And obviously he signed off on several and duped a collector for obviously multiple thousands of dollars. So it's something you want to really do your due diligence on. I know there was a story in Wall Street of an investor that, you know, scammed investors out of $50 billion, mainly because of his own name. He was like the president of NASDAQ or something. So people were like, oh, this guy's the former president of fucking the whole market exchange, so I can trust him with my money. And a lot of people did. And the same thing goes with sports cards. You can have the picture with the letter of authenticity. That's a really tough word to say, but you can have all this stuff, all the proof, PSA, DNA, I don't really care, UDA. Man, if you didn't see the player sign that, you still don't know. I don't really care. If you have Michael Jordan standing there in front of you telling you that he signed that, there's still some doubt in my mind. So unless I see that pen sign that thing myself, there's always doubt in my mind. So keep that in mind as you're buying memorabilia. Always do your homework. And, you know, don't be like me. Don't be a C student. Do your A-plus homework. Don't just look at the documents and be like, this is cool, this is cool, this is cool. You know, research the jerseys, because that's how they found this out, is they looked at the jerseys and they were like, these don't look real. And if you know a lot about NFL jerseys, I could tell you a real one from a fake from about a mile away. I mean, it's very easy to tell. So do your homework. If you're buying authentic gear, game used, apparently stuff, you want to do your homework. I know the Hall of Fames, the NBA Hall of Fame does some sick auctions on eBay usually. They're usually through another auction house, but they run them on eBay. Crazy. They just unload inventory like every once in a while. And man, it's like a collector's dream. You just see game use one after another on that site. So keep an eye out for those if you're a big spender. Keep an eye out for the big auctions. And do your homework, you know, when you're looking at something. If it's coming from the Hall of Fame, that would be almost as good a source as any to me. It'd be much better than an Upper Deck or a PSA or anything like that. Anything from a letter from a Hall of Fame is going to be pretty good. Letter from the player, as we found out in Brett Favre's case, may not be so good. But that wraps it up for this week. Thanks for hanging with us. Thanks for listening. Send us an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Check out our website, norcalsportshop.com. Enter the discount show. Man, I always mess that up. Enter the discount code SHOW and you'll get 10% off. That's what I was trying to say. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good week or weekend. We'll see you later. I'm out. Peace.